Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. Archived here for listening and downloading. You can also find us at the old account at Blog Talk Radio for our listeners over there. Share. They're free. Give them away. Share the link. Let's get other people onto this movement of restoring the priesthood of the believer, finding the power of the Book of Acts Church, tapping into the fire that's still falling. We want to recreate, not recreate, we want to reinstitute, we want to have that world-shaking influence that the Book of Acts Church had. And the only way we're going to get that is to get back to basics, red-letter basics, get back to the cross. Get rid of man-made religion, get rid of traditionalism, denominational, get rid of all these things that have hindered us from moving in the Spirit. Yes, men and women and people make mistakes. We are flesh. But the Spirit will figure it out. He'll make it right. If your heart is right, the Lord will honor it. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to reach out to us or support us, or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com and do the same. We're here on Sunday nights as well, 7 p.m., Reflections in the Dark, where we talk about the supernatural, the paranormal, prophecy, end times, whatever's going on in the world. Occasionally we have guests. Last weekend we had a doctor in the house, yes there was, sharing his testimony and his paranormal experiences and dealing with death, and it was a very interesting, powerful show. Like I said, if you'd like to support what we do, we would appreciate it. Question. The whole praise report, prayer request thing seems to be dwindling. Last week it was just me. This week we will have one other person beside me. Started out, it was very exciting. Everybody was interacting. I know a lot of you are moved by it because you write me and you tell me. But I'm not sure if I'm what I'm going to do at this point about that. I'm also considering a chat room or a forum for the Porch community. If I took on that responsibility, would probably have to pay someone else to do it. Would you use it? Contact me at onsolomonsport.org, firefalltalkradio.com, either one. Go to the firefalltalkradio.com and let me know what you'd like. If you would use it and would even consider supporting it, just let me know. I just want to know if it's something viable to look into. Well, praise reports and prayer requests. Well, I praise the Lord. That's it. I just praise the Lord. I praise Him for everything. I praise Him when my eyes are open. I praise Him when they're closed. I praise Him when things are good. I praise Him when they're not. I praise Him for the home that I have, for the wonderful wife that I have that has stuck with me and put up with me and what I do all these years, who prayed through my demonic possession until I got saved and the Lord restored our family. I praise the Lord for that family. I praise Him for the people that have guided me and taught me and inspired me. I mentioned one in the book, my spiritual father and mentor, Pastor Robert Shelley. I praise the Lord for my pets, for my possessions. I just praise the Lord. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I do it. Sometimes I just throw my hands up in the house, outside, in the car. I just praise the Lord. I told you when I'm at the gym, they think I'm listening to music or I'm stretching my hands, but I'm praising the Lord. I praise Him for the favor, for the provisions, the dreams, and the visions. This is also my prayer request. I pray for divine health and healing in me and my wife and my family and all of you that need it. I pray for divine protection and inspiration. A lot of things to do for the kingdom, and it takes some Holy Spirit fire-filled inspiration to get it done. My prayer is for the remnant to rise up in these dark times, to shine the light into that darkness, to set the captives free, and to show the world the reality of Yeshua, Jesus. My prayer is for the provision to travel and the vehicles and the ways to do it, to hit the road, set the captives free, lay hands on the sick, bring the signs of the Messiah back out into the open. Let's get it out of the four walls of a church building, a conference room. Let's get it out into the streets and into the movie theaters, which is why I praise him for the support and the equipment and the ability to make this documentary and every other thing the Lord's given me to shake the powers of darkness within that medium. But not just to entertain, not just to do that, but to get out there and to set the captives free, to shine the light, to open the eyes, to break the chains. We need the power of the Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the dunamis explosive love that comes from the heart of the Lord. So if you will pray with me, when you pray every day, just remind the Lord of that. I'm being the persistent widow, and I'm banging on that door, and I'm crying out for my Father to deliver. Be as good as his word. Kim in Fort Mitchell, it's the only other one we have tonight, said, I am well and expanding in every direction. I think we're going to find out why when I give one of her other praise reports. Said she had a very spiritual day. She feels a strong gratitude and closeness to her Creator. Said, I listened to Sunday's reflections in the dark today, and it opened a whole new perspective on life and death for me. Very good show. Said, I'm thankful for my family and for God's protection, for this ministry and the brothers and sisters I've gained here, for having my mom here with me for a few weeks and her yummy food. There's the reason for the expanding, Kim. I'm just kidding. Maybe not. She said, I prayed for change in my marriage for so long. Well, change is coming. He got his orders to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and I will be staying back here for what it looks like now. So she's praying for guidance and protection and deliverance for in her family. Praying for peaceful and a positive third trimester for the pregnancy, for a healthy delivery and spiritual growth. Said, I'm praying for my friend Stacy and her family, for this ministry and our families, for this land to heal and for us to shine brighter than ever for his glory in Jesus' name. Father, there it is. Not just me and Kim, but everybody that's listening and has opened their hearts and offer their praise, their prayer reports, praise reports and prayer requests to you. That they have, like me and all the others here, we boldly approach that throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. We are your children. We want to be close to you. We want to make you happy. And we want to tell you that we love you. With all of our heart, with all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and everything that is in us. We thank you for your son, Yeshua. Thank you for that cross. I thank you for what he did on the cross. It just hurt my heart that he had to endure that for us. I am thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us, for the blood that was shed as the Lamb of God, that your heart's desire was to restore the Father's heart to his children. And in restoring us, you set the captives free. You destroyed the work of the enemy. And we long for the day that we see you again when you complete the transition. We long for the marriage supper of the Lamb and to hear that heavenly shofar, the shout of the angels, the archangels. Father, we just ask you right now, if anyone is listening, and I know I usually do this at the end, but my heart has been touched. Somebody's listening right now to what I'm saying and has never experienced what they're feeling in their heart before. I pray that you would reveal to them by your voice, by your presence, or an angel, that that's you. And what they're feeling is an emptiness that needs to be filled right now by making you Lord of their life, by accepting what you did for them on the cross, by acknowledging you as their Savior, and becoming born again. We thank you, Lord, that all that call upon your name shall be saved. So we call upon you right now. We call for clear minds, open hearts. We call for the presence of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit to fill each and every place listening right now. We take authority over the powers of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, all the fallen angels that work with them, all the demons that serve them, and everyone and anything that would exalt itself above the name of Elyon, God Most High, our Father. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We say, have your way this day in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. The servant of God says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious or turned backward. I have given my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been ashamed or confounded. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who declares me in the right. Who will contend with me? Let us stand forth together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Behold, they all will wax old and be worn out as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you who reverently fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, yet who walks in darkness and deep trouble and has no shining splendor in his heart? Let him rely on, trust in, and be confident in the name of the Lord, and let him lean upon and be supported by his God." That was the Amplified Version of Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 10. Just another prophecy of Isaiah written in the past tense, but had not been fulfilled. That particular one would happen 700 years later, and of course he's referring to the Messiah. I believe that prophets, real prophets, not the ones who declare themselves prophets, who get the little name tags and business cards, real prophets, God shows them things out of time, out of the timeline. And that's what Isaiah was doing there. When he says the Lord God, which is emphasized in verses 5, 7, and 9, Lord means master. Of course, the name God is actually Yahweh. In that prophecy, it's the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. But as I read it and as I got into this message called Determined, there was a determination in the Lord. There was a determination in his life. If you think about it, all of a sudden he appears on the world stage. He's been hidden. And suddenly at the age of 30, he just shows up. Shows up at the Jordan to have his cousin John baptize him. But where was he the other 30 years? And I don't read all those books or watch the movies that, through conjecture, mostly flesh and very much demonic, try to figure out what he was doing. If it was important and we needed to know, he would have told us. But he went from obscurity to ministry, from ministry to Messiah. 30 years of obscurity, 3 years of ministry, eternally Messiah. I may have some trouble speaking tonight, folks. The tongue wants to go in another direction. When he says learned, he also uses a similar word, disciple. And when you disciple someone, you teach someone, you walk with them. The problem that we have in the church, I've said it before and I will continue to say it. We lead someone to the Lord, they become born again, they are a babe in their walk, and we pat them on the back and say, now, go have a good life. And we wonder why they stumble and fall or wander away or the enemy comes and gets them. Where are the shepherds? Where are the shepherds to protect the baby sheep? To keep the wolves from them, to keep them from harm. But the thing that struck me in this piece that I want to talk about is verse 4. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He's talking about comforting those who are weary. See, I know when someone is anointed by the Lord, not by men, not by schools, not by books, is that the word that they speak, even if it's a harsh word, even if it's a word of correction, refreshes people. Maybe it refreshes their walk. Maybe it tweaks a direction in their life. But when they're done listening, they're changed, they're renewed, they're restored. And here we are in the beginning of 2017, in case you didn't know. And I talk to a lot of people who are weary. We haven't even gotten into the year, and they're weary. The attacks have increased. The boldness and the fervor and the ferocity of the enemy is on the rise. Oh, we have some people out there. I see the post on social media, which I probably shouldn't read because they just frustrate me.
Well, brother, just speak the name and a little dabble do you of oil and it'll get done.
No, it's not getting it done. The enemy knows that this is their time in history. This is their moment in the grand plan. This is what they've been working for diligently, feverishly, for thousands of years. And we, as a body, should be doing the same. But the problem is, those of us who have, those of us who've been on the front line, those of us who've been fighting and searching and teaching and praying and doing, we're weary. We're tired. Which is exactly what the enemy wanted. And that's why so many are being taken out. We've lost some big names last year. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to lose more. 2017 is going to be a year unlike anything we had ever seen before. I'm not cursing anyone. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. The cleanup starts there, and the enemy knows where to look. But we're weary. We're tired. I get up. I know I pray, and I say to the Lord, you know, I don't say I'm tired anymore. I'm weary. And I cry out, and I pray, and this is one of the scriptures I read out loud to myself. Do you speak the word over yourself? Do you read it out loud? Do you speak it into the air? Do you change the atmosphere around you? Do you let the enemy know what you're thinking and what you're saying? If you don't, you should. Have you not known? Have you not heard? the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's supernatural infusion. Waiting on the Lord, waiting for the wind of the Spirit, waiting for the fire to fall, so that your strength is renewed, so that you can mount up with the wings like an eagle above the storm, and you can run and you won't be weary, and you'll walk and you won't faint. I know that that's true. There are no lies in the Bible. There are no half-truths. There's no deception or misdirection. My Abba Father is not a practical joker. If he says it, I believe it. And yet, we're exhausted. That's what that word weary in the Hebrew means. We're exhausted. We're tired of the effort. And when that happens, we are ripe for the picking. But if you feel that way, there is no condemnation. I'm not passing judgment because I'm preaching to myself. You just happen to be listening. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Our life in God is a life of faith, but it can also be a time of trouble. And in that scripture, soul and body refers to our entire being. You know, when I pray over myself, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, I don't leave anything uncovered. See, the enemy's a legalist. They're very specific, and they watch and they see and they listen to you pray. Oh, they listen to you pray. You know that, right? They watch you, even just from a distance, even if they have to step behind the veil to watch you so you can't see them or sense them. And they see what you pray for, and they wait to see what you missed. So just cover it all. Spirit, mind, and body, your entire being. When the psalmist says a parched and weary land, he's talking about an isolated spiritual wasteland where you feel separated from God, where you don't think your prayers are being heard. They're barely getting out of your mouth, so you don't believe they're making it to the throne room. Well, you need water. You need the water of the Word. You need the water of the Spirit. And the world has no answers for this, folks. Stop looking to the world for your answers. Stop looking to programs for your answers. Stop looking to PhDs or any Ds for your answers. Look to the G-O-D. Look to the W-O-R-D. The world has no answers for this. Ecclesiastes 4:1, and then I returned and considered all the impression that is done under the sun, and look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their aggressors, their oppressors is power, but they have no comforter. There's no comfort in the world. There's no comfort in the things of the world. There's no comfort in alcohol or drugs or sex or relationships. While they can be good when done under divine provision and guidance and direction, but the fact is there's only comfort in Him. Psalm 77, verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Jeremiah 45:3, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. These are people who know God that are writing those things. What's going to happen to a world that doesn't know him, that is determined in their choice not to know him? Revelation 9:6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. This even happens to us, born-again believers, 2 Corinthians 5:2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring, to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. The Amplified Version of 2 Corinthians 5:1-2 is this, for we know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, dissolved, we have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed, in this present abode, body, we sigh and groan inwardly because we yearn to be clothed over. We yearn to put on our celestial body like a garment to be fitted out with our heavenly dwelling. This is not our home. And you get to the point sometimes you get so tired that the only place you think you can find rest is in eternity with him. But I believe we can find rest here and now. And it takes a good word. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So you want to know why you're depressed? Anxiety. Proverbs 12:25. I just saved you probably a couple $1,000 in doctor's fees. But a good word makes it glad. See, that gets me back to where I started. Even in correction, there must be hope. There must be love. If there's correction and there's no love, that's not the Lord. That's not the Holy Spirit. Suffering makes believers groan with the longing for their future in paradise with him. Creation feels the same way. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. I don't pray to die. I don't believe I will die. I believe I'll fly. But there are days that you get so tired, you just want to crawl into a cave and hibernate. But you can't. Too much to do. And then I remember 2 Corinthians 4:17. Written by a man who struggled and suffered and became beaten and abused, but he kept going. The Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our future experience, we call it life. But our life isn't just here. Our life is eternal. It goes on with the Lord. We leave this earthly body and we get our incorruptible body. But still, we must persevere. We must endure. We must invest into this life today. And as I worked on this message and I prayed and I pondered, I began to think about what do I do to invest into this life now. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42:1-2. I long for the day that the job is done, the war is over. Hasatan's in chains, the fallen have been punished. The four square city has come down, the marriage supper of the Lamb has either taken place or is ongoing. I long for that moment when I see him face to face, and I've seen visions of it. He grabs the sides of my head, pulls me in close, says, "Good job, son. Welcome home." But until that day comes, that drives me to please him, to do what needs to be done. But I'm human. And after 48 years of working out and sparring and fighting and black belts and security work and bodyguard work and riots and all the things that in between, your body breaks down. Things don't move like they used to. You feel like the Tin Woodsman and the Wizard of Oz, and you start calling for oil can. Except Dorothy's not there, and it wouldn't work anyway. But then I think about all the men and women that have gone before, who've had it worse, who've struggled, who've been in jungles, who persevered because they were determined to finish the race. Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you." Where is your desire? To those of you that are weary, to those of you that are struggling, to those of you that have allowed the afflictions to bear you down and weight you down, where is your desire? My desire is in and on the Lord. There is none in heaven but him for me. And though he has given me a partner in my wife, a friend, a mate, somebody to walk with me, someone who has supported me through thick and thin, my desire is on him in a way that I can't describe. I know I've talked to friends and family who are not saved or don't get it, but every ounce of my being longs for him. And because of that, I keep going. Because of that, I am determined to press on. Because of that, I am determined to pour out the water that he gives me. Red letters, John 7:38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What's flowing from your heart? I've been around people that have living water flow from them. I've been around people that have pickle juice and lemon juice and very tart, bitter things flowing from them. Do you know how much damage we could do to the kingdom of darkness if through the love of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit and everything I'm talking about right now, with the fervor and the fire that held them to the cross, we went out there and set the captives free. We plundered the goods of the enemy. We healed the sick. The blind would see. The deaf would hear. The lame would walk. The dead would be raised. Somebody weary, getting ready to quit, just a good word in due season. A simple word. That's spiritual warfare. That to me is spiritual warfare. That prophecy in Isaiah referring to the Messiah from childhood to crucifixion. No, you didn't lose me. The Lord just went in a different direction in my head. I have to catch up. Sorry. This is how the enemy is winning. This is how the enemy is getting it done right now in 2017. This is why a world is looking to a man, a political figure, whoever he may be, to save them, to rescue them, to course correct the direction of their lives or this country. But the fact is, it's on us. Born again, spirit-filled followers of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, it's on us. And how the enemy has taken us out and weighed us down and taken us out of the game through sickness and injuries and lack of finances. He's done everything to hem us in, to cut off the supply chain. An army cannot function without supplies. I don't care how much fervor you have. I don't care how badly you want to fight the fight. No army can fight without supplies. And I watch the enemy supply to his servants. I watch the enemy supply to his army. I watch what's going on in the world. I watch the amount, the massive amount of waste and wealth from people, some of whom I've met, and I know what their lives are like. And I know this is a fallen world under the sway of the evil one. I know that this world, that he is the God of this world, and they reject the living God with a capital G. But I am the son of the king. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And 2017 has got to be a year of breakthrough, not because it's prophesied by some dime store prophet on some website or in some conference who has sold DVDs or wears $1,000 suits and flies in jet planes. I don't care about those people. But what I do care about is the person lying on the curb, drug addicted, in demonic bondage that can't get help. I'm concerned about the person that's going to commit suicide because they have no hope. I'm concerned about the husband and wife who are going to break up because either one or both of them are not born again. And they're tied up in religion and they miss the obvious. The kingdom of God suffers violent, the violent take it by force. And the Messiah, our Lord, came to this world determined to tear it down, to destroy it, even if it meant dying, which he knew is what it was going to take. They spit on him. They ripped out his beard. Do you understand that that ripping out of the beard was a mocking, debased put down? The spitting on him, if you've never been spat on, I have. Both in a street fight and in a security job. You don't understand that split. If you haven't, you don't understand that split second of shock to your system. And the feeling of being debased and disrespected as that phlegm hits you in the face and drips down your cheek and onto your clothing. And they spit on him. They beat him. And we complain. We said, "No, Lord, do you not see what he said about me or what he's doing to me? Did you see what they said, Lord?" Oh, grow up. That's me talking to me. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who've corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So don't be confounded or ashamed. Take a second right now. And everything I just said, all the recriminations, all the failures, everything everybody said, everything everybody's done, just right now, in the name of Yeshua, put it under the blood and forget it. Carry on. Press on. He was disrespected. He was beaten in a way that the religious leaders were calling him a fool. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. So they considered him a fool. Pulling someone's beard was a sign of contempt and disrespect, and spitting on him was to reinforce that shame. And he endured it willingly. Matter of fact, he came here to endure that. He was determined that nothing would stop him from getting to the cross. And he set his face like flint. That's what that scripture says. He was courageous. He was firm. He was resolved to accomplish that certain thing in spite of all the scorn and the hatred heaped upon him. When I was young and new in this walk, and very ignorant and naive of what it was going to take to get to where the Lord was sending me, I used to sit there and say, I set my face like flint. Not understanding I'd be picking flint out of my face along the way. Ezekiel says in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Yes, he's speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. But he's speaking to every one of us who has a calling and a desire to serve him. The Messiah, Yeshua, was dedicated to one end in his life. He came to die, not to live. And his death was not just an event that happened. He did it. He accomplished it. No one took his life. He gave it up. And he was determined that it would happen. Luke 9:51, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly, set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the time had come, in the fullness of time, God's time, not our time. And when you're under his command and you're under his call, then it'll be his time. And he will confound you if you try to do it any other way. He knew the outcome. And he still went. And he laid down his life, John 10:15-18. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, meaning the Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Not 27 flavors of denominations. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So I have to ask you this question. What are you willing to give up to get to where he's sending you? What are you willing to lose to gain? And if you're looking for man's validation or man's vindication, don't hold your breath. See, he was vindicated by his father. His father vindicated him. The outcome that vindicated him. Me sitting here being born again after being demonically possessed and walking out of my family and doing everything I did vindicates him. That what he did was right and what he did was of the Father, because I've been reconciled to my Father. And so many millions of others have too. That's the vindication. The outcome is the vindication. If you're looking for it now, then that may be what's keeping you from getting there. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Yes, they surrounded me. They surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They will be quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them all. And if I could get that one message to 70 nations that will be meeting in Paris on the 15th, woe be unto you when you surround Jerusalem to do what you say you intend to do. I don't think my daddy is going to like your decision. Who fears the Lord? Who has reverence or awe for God? If you do, if you have it, then you've got the beginning of true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If I had the money, I'd buy 70 name tags from all the leaders of all the nations that are showing up in Paris for that meeting about splitting Jerusalem. And I would only have to put one word on it. Fool. That prophecy in Isaiah ends with an appeal by the Messiah for those who fear God and obey his servant, to trust in the name of the Lord, to trust in the name of Jehovah, to trust in their heavenly Father. For all the enemies that will kindle their own fires of accusation and judgment against Messiah shall reap what they sow to their own sorrow. Oh, yes, I know they make movies that mock him and mock the disciples. Yes, I know there's a movie coming out called Corpus Christi where Jesus and the disciples are portrayed as homosexuals. And that used to offend me to the point of desiring some street justice until one day I heard the Lord chuckle and say, I really don't need you to defend me. I can kind of handle that myself. Just a distraction, though I do not like somebody talking about somebody I love that way, I'm not going to waste my time fighting about it. We've been called with something else. We should be determined about other things. We fight about too many worldly things that have no eternal value. Let me just say that again. As a body, we fight with the world over things that have no eternal value. We should be determined in 2017 and the years ahead if the Lord tarries. And Lord, we don't want you to tarry. To not be distracted, to not take our eyes off the prize, to not take our eyes off the job. See, you've been called to righteousness. You've been called to be a light to the Gentiles that will offer them freedom and lead them out of darkness. That's been a prevailing message here on the porch. It's been the message from day one when the Lord gave me the name Firefall Productions for the movie company, and now Firefall Media Group. Gave me that name in 97. For the Lord did not send, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And I just had a visual in my head of many believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, who split the difference. They're not in the darkness, but they're really not up in the light. They're staying far enough back that there's certain things that can't be seen because they're trying to hide what they do. I challenge you to run into the light and let everything be seen and be exposed, and so that you may repent and get back in a right relationship with him and stop hiding the fornication, stop hiding the addiction, stop hiding the lying, stop hiding the stealing, stop hiding the bickering and the fighting and all the things that keep us from walking in the fullness of his power. Right now, wherever you are, let the shine of the glory of God hit you like a spotlight. And if that's not good enough, let the fire fall around you and set everything on fire that's not of him. That'll create a pretty good light. We have got to get to the place where we hate, we loathe, we detest the things that keep us in the darkness and don't allow us to go to the light. We need to get rid of the works, the deeds, the activities, the conduct that don't want to be exposed. I know what it felt like, still being demon-possessed, still not being born again, still being in bondage, and walking into that prayer room in Christian Heritage in Tallahassee in the 80s. And knowing I did not want to go in that room, not because the room wasn't pleasing, it was. There were things inside of me that did not want to go in there, because they would have been seen, they would have been exposed. We must be determined in 2017 to finish the race, to run the course, but not for us. Oh, yes, there's a prize, there's a crown, there's an end result, a reward. But the rewards are those that you lead to the Lord. The rewards are those that get delivered. The reward of those that you have helped out of the darkness, that you have led back to the shepherd. That's the reward. I'm going to play a song by Dennis Jernigan here, and then we're going to pray.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my
last question before I pray. What does God require of you? Everything. Father, I pray for your children right now. I pray that you would strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for their feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I pray that those that are weary would be refreshed and renewed. I pray that you would hit them right now, Father, with a fire, a new fire, a fire from the throne room, that they can run and not grow weary, they can walk and not faint, they can rise up with wings as eagles. For those that are lost and have wandered away, find your way home. I just say to you very bluntly, come home. There's nothing for you out there in the world. Come home. Let everything go. In Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.